Are you ready to create a balanced, joyful life, rich in purpose and meaning? Do you long for a deeper connection with what you're doing, who you really are? Creating a Spirited Life with host Janet Kesenek explores the everyday experiences and encounters that puzzle and enlighten us. Guided by new ideas, perspectives, and at times humor, you'll create the harmonious, spirited life you're meant to live. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Creating a Spirited Life will enrich your experience and ease your way through this work in progress we call life.
Welcome to Creating a Spirited Life. I'm Janet Kesenek, your host, and you're listening tonight to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. This show is heard live every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. You can also tune into this show on our internet station, Dream Vision 7 Radio, where we're heard weekly on Thursdays at 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. Eastern Time. To learn more and for a full station schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining us and joining the conversation on Creating a Spirited Life, where we bring together our thoughts, questions, and perspectives on a variety of topics and issues that are all meant to help us discover the meaning, purpose, and joy that comes from creating and living a spirited life. Listeners, you are invited to call in with your thoughts, comments, and questions throughout the show, and the number you can call to reach us is 617-237-1234. That's 617-237-1234. You're also invited to be in touch through my website, spiralenergies.com, after the show, where you can leave a comment, request a show topic, sponsor a show, or listen to previous broadcasts. All of that is at spiralenergies.com. I also invite you to please like my Facebook page, Creating a Spirited Life, where you'll see regular Wednesday's wisdom postings, other things of interest, and announcements. And according to Facebook's analysis, over 23,000 people have viewed the Wednesday Wisdoms post since January. So join the followers. Just go to facebook.com/creatingaspiritedlife. The topic for our show today is the transformational power of wisdom. And here to discuss that with me is my conversation guest, spiritual thought leader, teacher, and inspirational speaker, Dilip Mathur. Dilip's third appearance on Creating a Spirited Life is this evening, and he was my conversation partner previously in both September 2013 and last year in May of 2014. Dilip, it is a pleasure to have you on the show again. Welcome back, and thank you for joining our conversation today on Creating a Spirited Life.
I'm delighted to be here, Janet.
Thank you. I'm so glad to have you. And just for listeners to know, Dilip and I are most welcoming of your comments and questions from our listeners tonight during this show, and we invite you to join the conversation. The number here once more is 617-237-1234. We had the idea in the outset that as we discuss wisdom, Dilip and I would like to kind of create a collective of wisdom that comes from you, our listeners, as well as from us. So please, please be in touch. So, Dilip, you know, you're one of my designated consultants for this show, and it was in a conversation together that we had prior to the March broadcast about presence that the topic of wisdom emerged. You mentioned you had done a talk about wisdom, and it just sounded like a wonderful topic. So here we are. Here we are.
Yeah, I had a good time talking to a group at the Lexington Library on this topic.
And excellent.
It was very interesting to see how much people are engaged with it.
Well, I think there's a need for this, and this is something I think we'll be getting into. Wisdom is... it's an interesting topic, and so many levels, so many aspects to it, and some really powerful questions come up when we look at wisdom and the transformational power it has, as we say in the title, because it really is transformative. That's what's different about wisdom from just news, you know, or information. It has a transformational power, and
it's different from news, it's different from knowledge with which it's often confused,
mm-hmm.
and it's different even from experience. with which it is frequently equated.
Yes, yes. It touches in on some of those things.
Yes.
What you, I interrupted you. Yeah, you were going to say.
So I was just going to say that it's important to get a clearer idea of what wisdom is. So I have a sort of a working definition of that.
Yes, I think the first big question, it certainly was in my description also, is what is wisdom? So let's explore that for a few minutes. What are some thoughts from you?
So I use this working definition for wisdom. And so I say wisdom is that awareness that brings out the best in us and around us in any situation.
Nice. Say it once again because it's so good.
So it is that awareness that brings out the best in us and around us. So obviously it has a lot to do with decision making, but it also has to do with the perspective and personal growth that's needed to make those decisions when the situation arises.
Right. And so we want wisdom to inform us. Wisdom informs us, doesn't it? Not like information, but it
informs our decision.
Yes, yes.
It gives a perspective, a basis, a grounding for making decisions.
Yes. I was thinking about different aspects and finding... Yours is such a really beautiful definition, and because of it bringing out the best in us, because that my sense is that it inspires us. True wisdom, it raises the vibrational level.
Yes.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes,
you know,
yes. one of the wise people that everybody recognizes is the Dalai Lama,
mm-hmm.
and he was asked this question: which is the best religion?
Mm-hmm.
And his answer was that which brings out the best in you.
Uh-huh. So whatever that religion might be.
Whatever that religion might be. Whatever brings out the best in you, and of course, that is the ultimate wisdom.
There you go. There you go. And when we are inspired by that, I mean, what the best in us, I would think of as our essence, as our soul and spirit, that spiritual aspect of us. And it is our highest self.
It is our highest self.
And when we're coming from there.
Yes, we're coming from there. And when we are in touch with it, then we are able to manifest that higher self in kindness.
Yes.
So invariably, wise people are kind.
That's an interesting observation, isn't it?
So to quote the Dalai Lama again, he was asked, what is your religion? And he said, my religion is kindness.
Uh-huh. Well, it would not be surprising that the Dalai Lama within the first 5 minutes of the show has quoted him twice, because that you know where we find spiritual wisdom these days is he is certainly one of our leaders, and let's unpack that in a few minutes. But these two quotes that you've given us are. You know, they are inspirational. I find that wisdom enlightens us.
Yes.
It brings a new perspective. It broadens our perspective. It deepens.
It deepens. And in fact, the absence of wisdom can be catastrophic.
Mm.
You know, to give you an example of it, you know, Jeb Bush has been in the news about his comments about the Iraq war. And he couldn't quite bring himself to say that that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But here was a war that studies today show resulted in casualties of 500,000 people,
wow.
More than twice Nagasaki and Hiroshima combined.
Mm. Mm.
And yet there isn't clarity in a presidential contender's mind that that was a mistake.
Yes. So the catastrophic results.
So, and the inability to come at something from a wise point of view, or for instance, the Citizens United decision that came out of the Supreme Court was very knowledgeable on the law and the Constitution, but it was singularly unwise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It has completely changed the nature of politics today to making us essentially a plutocracy.
Right, right. Well, yes, finding the search for wisdom and finding the wisdom that resonates within us is an ongoing, it's a lifelong process because we're always open to finding wisdom. We need to be open to finding wisdom. And where we find it is, it's important to know your sources. And I think probably the political world is not going to be sharing a lot of wisdom with us.
Sadly so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always the case. I mean, for instance, just to come to the political scene, Rwanda was the scene of a horrendous massacre a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Million people, essentially an internecine war between two tribes. A million people lost their lives. Mm-hmm. And a new leader comes, and he changes that. And Rwanda is now a success story.
Yes.
And people are not allowed to focus on their differences. They're just allowed to focus on their common.
Well, there's the profoundly transformative power of true wisdom.
Of true wisdom.
That brings out the best, not the worst in people.
Yes.
Because when it's bringing out slaughter and, you know, death and destruction, that is the worst in people. You know, Dilip, we invited some callers to give us a ring, and we actually have a caller on the line. Robert is with us. So, Robert, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling Creating a Spirited Life. And we're wondering what your thoughts are about wisdom, or if you have a story to tell us about wisdom in your own life. Welcome.
Well, I was going to quote your partner there, Dilip.
Oh, good. Quote Dilip. He is a man of wisdom, for sure.
He is. I have the privilege of being in a group called Toastmasters, and from time to time, Dilip is in it. He used to be a regular.
Uh-huh.
But because of his move to Florida, which I think entails 6 months, it's difficult for him to be there as frequently as he used to be there. But we have a segment in Toastmasters.
Uh-huh.
And it's called Table Topics. And basically, it's about spontaneity in the sense that we ask somebody a question that they have no idea they're going to be asked, and then they're called upon to answer.
Oh.
And I was, I think it was probably a year or so ago, when I was running Table Topics, and I quoted President Obama.
Uh-huh.
And he was discussing his foreign policy. And he summed it up in what was rebuked by a lot of, I thought, of course the Republicans were. It wouldn't matter what he said.
Right.
And some Democrats actually put it down, too. But basically he said, we shouldn't do something stupid.
Hmm.
And I thought, as simple as it was totally brilliant. Because we have done so many stupid things.
Right. Right.
Of course, called upon Dilip to respond to this. And Dilip, in his own inimitable way, was hysterically funny. And what he said was, well, we did really, I have to paraphrase it, I can't really quote. He probably could say what he said even better than I could because, of course, it came from Dilip.
But you know, the way that you remembered it is significant also. So give it your best shot, Robert.
Well, he said, you know, well, there was Vietnam. And that was incredibly stupid. Then there was Iraq, and that was even more stupid after Vietnam. And then there's all of these little countries that we don't even have to know about that we do.
Mm.
And that's incredibly stupid. He said, and we're still going on.
Uh-huh.
See, all this stupidity is really smart. Gross. But it was something like that. And I remember, you know, of course, it stuck with me. I can't remember that.
Yeah. Dilip, do you remember that?
Thank you, Robert. I was obviously taking up of the point of Hillary Clinton's, which is that doing something stupid is not an organizing principle.
Mm.
But apparently that's what has been our foreign policy for some time. Has made us the most powerful nation in the world. But that was in jest, obviously.
Yeah.
I think we should stop doing that foolish things because we are certainly hurting the world.
Yeah.
Worrying and doing things stupid.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, you just wonder, you were talking briefly about politics, you just wonder how people who, you know, of this age, I mean, and went through the Vietnam, how could they possibly think?
Yeah.
Right.
Of another war. And then you think to yourself, you hear, you know, commentators, pundits get on and they say, you know, if we had done this and we could have won. And you say to yourself, one 1 watt.
1 watt.
Right.
Exactly what we have won. Now we've won that we're out. And we're trading with Vietnam, which is what we should have done to begin with.
Right. You know, Robert, you really, I thank you very much for calling. You've done a good job of remarking, you know, that it's sometimes clearer to see what is stupid, to use that word, and what is not wise and wisdom than it is to find the wisdom. So thank you for calling, and I think that's an important contrast, don't you, Dilly?
It is an interesting quarter. Robert has a very interesting perspective on things.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if we look at things in a fresh way, we may not think that we are making the wisest choice. Every time I fly, I go through these machines.
The security
machine.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's because there was some time ago, in December of 2001, there was the shoe bomber.
Yeah.
And this guy came out, and he had this bomb in his shoe. And from then on, everybody's taken on their shoes. And, of course, this guy is in jail in this maximum security prison. But this guy, who didn't even succeed in setting off the bomb, has got all of Western civilization
taking their shoes off,
taking their belts off, and then raising their hands inside the machines in this universal symbol of surrender.
Yes.
Every time we raise our hands there, we are surrendering.
Yes.
Because we think the battle is physical, where really the battle is mental.
Yes, yes. There's some wisdom, yeah. Well, you know, wisdom, it really involves, I think, the ability to think and act. You know, we need to be able to think and act using kind of a combination of knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and some insight. This was a definition that I found. And I think that there's a lot in there, because wisdom, you know, it inspires us, it motivates us, it enlightens us. I think it challenges us, it moves us, it changes us. And there's a tremendous capacity for wisdom. We need to be finding the wisdom, not just the stupidity that
yes.
is in our lives. So I'm really curious to work with that.
Yep.
And I think that wisdom, you know, it's there is an aspect of advice to wisdom, but not all advice is wisdom, obviously, you know. But I had an interesting experience where I asked my father for some advice years ago when I was first moving out to the Boston area. And I never asked my father for advice. So this was atypical from the beginning. I had a nice relationship with my father, but not particularly close. We didn't talk personally about things. But my car was packed. I was moving to Boston. I was going further away than I'd ever been for the next year. And I think that I was looking for reassurance from him when I asked him this question. I kind of expected he'd say, look, you'll be fine, and, you know, or your plane ride away, or we'll send you money if you need it or something. But out of my mouth popped this question. I said, Dad, you know, I'm off to Boston tomorrow. Can you give me some advice? And my father, who had never gotten deep and personal with me before, sort of stood there for a moment, and he thought for a minute, and he said, you want some advice? I'll give you some advice. Don't be afraid to be adventurous.
Ah, what great advice.
What great advice. And I was stunned, because my father wasn't what you would call a particularly adventurous man. But then it occurred to me that several years before, he had left the security of a job to become self-employed and start his own company, and took that risk of leaving, you know, as a depression child, you know, depression grown-up child, leaving the security of an income behind and launching off into this own adventure of creating his own work. So he really did have his own experience from which he was speaking. But that felt like a great blessing, and that piece of advice that I asked for was some of the best wisdom that I've ever received in my life. And
yeah, we tend to value security a little bit too much, but you know, there's a whole generation of people who traveled across oceans to uncertain lands, not knowing anybody, not having any security at all. I mean, that's how this is. This country came about.
Yeah.
Even in when I came to the States, a whole bunch of students from my country, India, came to the States, landed with $8 in their pocket. That was it.
Yeah.
And you got going.
Yeah, and you've got to gather your wisdom in order to do that. We have another caller from Minneapolis named
Ashlesha.
Ashlesha, a friend of yours, someone you're acquainted with. Welcome, Ashlesha. Thank you for calling, and welcome to Creating a Spirited Life. We're talking about wisdom. Do you have a life wisdom or a quote or any comments about wisdom to share with us tonight?
Yeah, I actually wanted to tell a story. And I kind of think of wisdom as also something that people or individuals, including myself, used for personal growth,
yes,
and spiritual growth, so that I am a better person and more positive, and therefore everybody around me has that more of a positive energy and influence because I'm keeping myself more positive.
Yes.
And
it's, so as Dilip says, brings out the best in you and then the best around you also in other
exactly.
people. Yeah,
exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. So, you know, my story is that, I was in a situation where I was, leading an organization and someone else basically came and took that away from me as I saw it.
Mm.
I was feeling jealous and envious, you know, and that person is now able to do more than I could do. And I was discussing that with one of my friends, and she said something really profound that helped me a lot. And it was, would you want to change your life with her life?
Oh.
Oh, what a perceptive question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I said, no, not at all. And you know, that just got me thinking in general that whenever we feel envious or jealous or any such negative thought about someone, if you look at their entire life and look at your entire life, then it just changes the whole perspective of the situation.
Yes.
And it makes you feel, I'm happy where I am, I'm happy with my life, and I'm happy for that person now. So you see that negative emotion that was kind of creating negativity within me and therefore around me, transformed into something more positive. I'm not going to say it was overnight, but it was a process. It was a process. And so I think that wisdom of whenever we feel something envious or negative, as you know, in this case,
yes,
then kind of thinking, well, do you want to exchange your life to that person? And
right.
No, because you're just seeing one small part of that person's life.
Right. Well,
and you're kind of envying it or whatever. But then if you look at your entire life and their entire life, they're perfect.
Right. Well, I think your friend gave you a true piece of wisdom there, and it is certainly, this is exactly, it has all the elements we're talking about. You know, it helped you have a new perspective. It challenged you. It enlightened you. And then it helped transform what was a difficult situation and a difficult dynamic into something that was actually very positive. And I appreciate that it didn't take overnight, you know, that it wasn't overnight, that it took time, because that's the way enlightenment can be. It can happen in a flash, but then to actually implement this and really have the shift can be a longer process. So
I kind of thought I'd share that.
Well,
that's a wonderful story about personal growth.
Yes,
because one of the things that happens with the increase in wisdom, and it happens with people who are open to it, is that a broader perspective comes. Because wisdom, after all, is knowledge plus love plus perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the introduction of, instead of a combative point of view, but it's just a broader perspective, is wonderful, Ashlesha. Thanks.
Thank you so much for calling and sharing that with us. I hope you have a lovely evening and many blessings. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good night. Bye. Yeah. Well, Dilip, we are coming to the end of this first segment, but we have many more thoughts to explore with this. So, listeners, please stay with us, and you're welcome to call 617-237-1234. We're going to take a short break and be back in just a few minutes with Creating a Spirited Life. Thank you.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Are you ready to be healthier and more effective in your life? Janet Kesenick of Spiral Energies can help you find the vitality, well-being, and self-awareness that will empower you in your life, relationships, and work. Janet offers healing treatments and intuitive readings in person and by phone or email. Sign up to learn about workshops, trainings, and to receive free inspirational writings. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. Begin your transformation today.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com, 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Edicia is a U.S. nonprofit dedicated to the dream of ending childhood malnutrition for millions of children around the world. Through the manufacture of Plumpy Nut and other nutrient-rich, peanut-based, ready-to-use foods, Edicia has already delivered life and hope to nearly 1 million children in over 26 developing countries. To find out how you can join Edicia's dream of ending childhood malnutrition, please visit ediciaglobal.org.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show, Sundays 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Sunday 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Welcome back, and thank you for staying tuned to us. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Janet Kesnick, and this is Creating a Spirited Life, where Dilip Mathur and I are talking about the transformational power of wisdom. And we'll just touch back to Dilip's wonderful response to the question, what is wisdom, which was that it's that awareness which brings out the best in us and around us. And this is a very, very good place to keep reminding ourselves. Dilip, we have another caller. We have Sharon from Cohasset, Massachusetts. Sharon, thank you for calling Creating a Spirited Life. You're on the air. Welcome. And do you have a story about wisdom or a question or comment? How can we...
Hi. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's been great hearing everything. You know, I had never really thought of wisdom that way, what brings out the best in us and around us. And, you know, the thing that came to my mind when I was... There's so much here. There's so many things that I could touch on or that are coming to mind, but... Really, the root for me, as I was thinking, is, you know, being really using, you know, when I was a teenager, I was not very well. I was really overweight. I was not showing up the way I needed to for my life, for applying to college, to, you know, I was very confused and lost. And I was not practicing self-care, which now I know is the root. You know, when I'm not strong, I'm really not available for other people.
Sure.
And so...
But you didn't have that wisdom at the time.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I was
sort
of a victim. I really didn't know. I didn't have the help. I didn't know. I was sort of lost. So now that I was able to get help and I, you know, and I'm feeling, you know, I feel really good, I eat well, you know, I find that self-care, not self-centeredness or navel-gazing or, you know, I don't sit around and think all about myself, but that real pure self-care enables me to be really clear, you know, not overworking, not underworking, you know, really having balance in my life.
Yes.
Enables me to be really present for others. And my greatest joy comes from using my past struggles. I do that on a daily basis. How can I help somebody? How can I bring out of my pocket? You know, I'm always ready with a story or something, a struggle. You know, it's humbling, and it sometimes feels humiliating to tell somebody something I did or somewhere I'm coming from or, you know, a way I was feeling or, you know, really something I did because, you know, the way I ate, the way I, you know, felt about myself, the way I didn't show up. But it's like ammunition against... you know, sadness and loneliness. And it's really powerful, you know, walking around with a mindset of how can I help someone else through my, you know,
through my
past struggles.
Yeah.
Through my experience.
Right.
And there's nothing that fills me up more than that.
Well, Sharon, I so appreciate you calling in this contribution because it really resonates with something I was thinking about too, which is that the true wisdom, the wisdom that truly speaks to each of us is the wisdom that resonates with something that is from our own struggle, our own experience, and that is what we can then bring out to other people and share as well. And I've been thinking how wisdom is such a two-way dynamic. You know, it's this very elevated thought that sinks deep into us, and then it's this deep, from this deep place, it can well back up. And it's very interesting. I found myself asking people in the last few weeks as I was preparing for the show, do you have wisdom? What is your wisdom? What are your thoughts? And almost everybody initially balks at the question, oh, I don't have any wisdom. You know, they kind of say, I don't know anything. And then with very little time, something will rise up and they'll realize, oh, I do have some wisdom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And it's particularly in times of adversity and difficulty when people get through it and rise from it. And I love your expression there, ammunition against sadness, ammunition or reserve against adversity, because it's just converting that. I mean, it's a beautiful example that you gave, and it enables, and the other thing you did, Sharon, that you're connecting it to helping others.
Yes.
And I think that's
which is of a high vibrational level, right? Yeah.
And people are most moved when you're humble and honest with them. They're not moved by you, you know, standing on a hilltop, you know, making you know, announcing your great words, people are moved through hearing your pains and your struggles, and they're in awe sometimes that you would even say it out loud. You know, I have people say, oh, you did that, or you're saying that out loud, and it's helpful. It's really helpful for them.
Mm-hmm.
So that more helpful than anything, I find, you know, speaking from your heart and really being honest with people and telling them where you're coming from and your struggles.
Yeah, wisdom is a heart place. We might confuse and think it's, you know, this mental kind of thing, but it's very much a heart place. It's from it's love. This is an aspect we're going to talk about, and it is of divine love. It's of divine vibration. So thank you so much for this contribution.
Thank
Sharon, thank you. Many blessings.
Thanks, Sharon.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. That's lovely.
Well, you know, this is a fine point, Dilip, and it's one of the points that I want to make in the show is that we do each all carry some wisdom. Now, I could throw three quotes at you of wisdom that has inspired me from Eleanor Roosevelt Henry David Thoreau, and I may throw some of those out. But to think about what I have that's wisdom that has taught me. It's personal, you know. One of the people that wrote in ahead of the show, Jay from Boston, said, you know, I would love to participate, but he said at the present, I'll quote him, he said, at present I'm feeling overwhelmed, though he says just a few days ago I was feeling more on top and maybe even wise. But maybe the wisdom consists in recognizing, he says, that our thoughts and moods are changeable and don't reflect our inward essence, which is unchanging and good, even when we forget or allow ourselves to feel remote or isolated from that light and power. And he sort of surprised himself because in the next sentence he said, you know, now that I think about it, that's kind of good wisdom.
Yeah.
And he was not even aware until it asked the question, and it just kind of rose up out of him. And I think that's very good wisdom. I think
that,
it's very wise.
That is a very deep reflection, because a lot of our issues in this world come from our confusion that we are our egos.
Yeah.
This bundle of thoughts and emotions and concerns about our bodies and our welfare and all of that.
Yes.
That we try to protect, and we spend so much of our time and energies in serving that.
Mm-hmm.
That ego, it's sort of the psychological equivalent, modern day equivalent of human sacrifice,
mm-hmm.
because we are essentially sacrificing our lives in service of this ego.
Mm-hmm.
But if we are able to,
like Jay
is able to separate that and say, you know, that, you know, I am something higher than that.
Right.
And
something
these are just
other.
My thoughts that are coming and going, and I'm controlling them and I'm absorbing that.
Right.
Then he's elevated himself
Right.
Already.
He separated out what is essence from the human experience, which is changeable and fluctuates like crazy. But that's the thing about wisdom. I realized as I was reading quotes and finding passages and things that spoke to me as wisdom that resonates with me, there's this feeling of settledness when I hear wisdom, when I revisit it. You know, it sort of helps the... It stops everything from wobbling, you know. It gets very stable.
Yeah, because we come from a place where our consciousness is constant. It's unchanging. It's stable. When we identify with that awareness, as opposed to the thoughts which changed on the external circumstances, then we come from a very stable place. And our thoughts tend to be about objects.
Mm-hmm.
The acquisition of objects and so on, things of that nature. And we get preoccupied with that. And so we carry that burden with us.
Yeah.
If we can shed it, simplify our lives, and just go to love and compassion and thoughtfulness, self-awareness.
And kindness.
We discover another part of ourselves, which is there all along.
And very very consistently there. Yes, it's that process of remembering it and holding on to it. Well, we'll be back in a few minutes and be continuing this discussion. So thank you, everyone. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments after break. Thanks. Take us on out, Mason.
Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenek the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m.
We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Are you ready to be healthier and more effective in your life? Janet Kesenek of Spiral Energies can help you find the vitality, well-being, and self-awareness that will empower you in your life, relationships, and work. Janet offers healing treatments and intuitive readings in person and by phone or email. Sign up to learn about workshops, trainings, and to receive free inspirational writings. Contact Janet Kesenek at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com. Begin your transformation today. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenek at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com, 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Welcome back, and thanks for staying with us. You're listening to a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at 1510 AM WMEX Boston. I'm Janet Kesenek. This is Creating a Spirited Life, and Dilip Mathur and I today are talking about the transformational power of wisdom. You know, it begs the question, where do we find wisdom? And I heard from some of our listeners before the show through email, and it was interesting to hear their thoughts about where they are finding wisdom. Tanya in Waltham, for example, sent me some quotes from Parker Palmer, Wendell Berry, Mary Oliver, the poet, and also an unknown source quote hanging on her bulletin board that was just to point out how we can find wisdom in the fun and playful. The quote was, "Don't just do something, sit there." And, you know, we have to recognize that there can be a lot of wisdom in the very concise and what sound like very, very grounded kind of messages, right? The Parker Palmer quote, I'll just share that one with you because this has been important to her. It is this: solitude does not necessarily mean living apart from others. Rather, it means never living apart from oneself. That kind of ties in with what Jay had to say, right? Yes. Do you know Parker Palmer? He's a very wonderful spiritual Quaker teacher from the Quaker tradition. And a listener, Karen, in Austin, Texas, it was interesting. She connected the question about wisdom with how it is shared and conveyed through being a mentor for other people. And I think this ties in a little bit with the way Sharon was talking about speaking to people about their issues and concerns from the basis of her own experience. That's what mentorship is. This is what I've figured out. Let me see if it applies to you.
And that's right.
She says that being a mentor brings about the question, you know, you're helping someone figure out, when will they find their voice? When will I find my voice? Where will my gifts and strengths take me? How do I navigate my goal? What path do I take? All of these, she said, resonate with the vision, motivation, inspiration, and hope. And that's wisdom, you know.
Yes, so that is wisdom.
The mentorship is a wonderful
way of thinking about. And there's a way of thinking about teaching, because mm-hmm. mentorship is teaching and
it
guiding.
Is. Yes.
And teaching,
and inspiring.
And inspiring. And teaching is frequently about knowledge. I give somebody some knowledge. But there is another term that's used in the Eastern tradition that's now also common in the West called guru.
Uh-huh.
A guru is a person who gives wisdom. So when Sharon talks to people and tells about her experience, she is a guru.
Yes.
Ashlesha's friend is a guru.
Acting as a guru.
As a guru.
Yes.
And for us to acquire wisdom, we have to have a particular attitude towards the guru.
Yes.
Which is very simple. Just an open mind and the expectation of a positive outcome.
Yes.
That's all that's needed.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to be open-minded about things and expect something positive to come out of that interaction.
And to recognize that not all wisdom resonates with us. I think that, you know, there are things that I understand it's a truth. It bounces right off of me because it's not part of what I need to learn and
That's
hear.
Right.
It doesn't
That's
resonate
right.
within me, right?
That's right.
But, you know, we certainly, I feel, receiving wisdom, cultivating wisdom is a part, should be a daily part of our,
daily
or a regular
part
of our spiritual practice. So,
yes.
So what are your thoughts, Dilip, about how we cultivate that, where we find it?
So we go about cultivating wisdom, first of all, by associating with wise people.
Yeah.
Now, wise people doesn't mean necessarily spiritual masters. There are wise people in our lives all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just, in fact, the most unlikely people sometimes, even children give wise advice.
Oh, out of the mouths of babes, right?
Isn't it? That happens.
Yes.
I have a story that illustrates this. There was a 6-year-old child, a Cherokee Indian child, goes to his grandfather, who is a Cherokee chief, and says, you know, sometimes I'm a good boy and I'm noble and I'm generous and I feel like giving up playing with, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I am not so. I'm naughty and I pinch other children. I hurt them. And so why is that? Why am I good sometimes and why I'm bad sometimes? And the grandfather says, there are two wolves fighting inside of you.
Mm.
One is a good wolf that is good and generous and loving, and there's a bad wolf that is mean and hurtful. And so this child says, which one wins? And the grandfather says, the one you feed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I love this cultural story.
Yes, it's perfect.
Of wisdom.
It's
yeah.
perfect, and it's true. So if we'd never pick up a book that has inspirational quotes or a spiritual text, or we never listen to a myriad of wonderful radio shows and programs, and, you know, where we can be inspired, we can receive new thoughts,
and
new perspectives.
We can feed our better natures.
We can feed
we
our better.
We always have this impulse of doing the right thing, doing good for other people, thinking nobler things, and doing nobler things, because thought
right.
translates into action.
Right. Right.
And being courageous, and we have second thoughts about it. And we just have to let ourselves go and explore our full potential, because wisdom is a lot about self-discovery.
It is self-discovery, and then I agree. It is very much about, it does stretch us. I think that sometimes I like the word challenge. It presents a challenge to do the wise thing, to do to discern the wisdom in our lives, this is about the manifestation, isn't it? Because we can hold wisdom within ourselves, we can hear wisdom, we can decide this is that, and you know, that's part of the dynamic, but
it has to
rise back out.
And it has to translate into action.
Yes.
And it has to translate into good for other people. And there's a lot of positive psychology research that shows that people who live lives of meaning, in other words, they are devoting their lives not just to their service of their own egos, but to the world outside,
right.
They are happier.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a reinforcing cycle.
Certainly.
Because the ego is further reduced, the littlest thing gives joy.
Yes.
And if you're not in that cycle, you can make $100 million and you'll still be looking, as happens in Wall Street,
yeah,
which is populated with quite a few very unwise people,
mm-hmm,
who are addicts of a kind,
mm-hmm,
and nothing is enough for them.
Right.
And if you're wise and giving, then it enables you to take charge of your life.
And be satisfied. I mean, to me, what we're looking for,